what it is, but the voice is going, but hopefully it'll stay out for just a few more moments. We're turning to John's Gospel tonight, the chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Excuse me. John's Gospel, chapter 3. We're just going to read one verse together before we come to our message for tonight. John's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 17. This was one of the verses that was read to us in the home this afternoon, and it confirmed exactly that this is what we should speak on and consider tonight. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and the verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we ask for the Lord's help as we come to the preaching of his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we just still our hearts again in thy presence. We thank thee, O God, for all that has taken place already tonight. We thank thee, O God, for the messages and song that have been brought to us, the musical items, the scripture readings. We thank thee, O God, for the word of testimony. Praise thee, O God, for the day that you saved Anna and for all that you've done for her since. And we thank thee, O God, for all that you've done for all of our young people. We ask, O God, that you'll just bless our young people, we pray. Lord, keep them close to thyself for any who may not know thee. We pray, O God, that this night that they will come in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, now as we would bring this meeting to a close tonight, we ask, O God, for thy help. Lord, we need thy help once again. We ask, O God, for thy presence with us tonight. Come and help us, we pray, in the preaching and help us in the hearing. May the Spirit of God descend upon us, we pray. And Lord, take thy word and write it upon every heart. We ask, O God, that you'll speak to saint and to sinner alike tonight. Lord, as we remember and as we consider this season of the year, Lord, may our minds and our thoughts be taken away to Christ. Lord, we pray that for this time we'll be shut in with God. Bless us, we pray now. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. This verse 17 often stands in the shadow of verse number 16, which so often is preached upon, and of course rightly so, because verse 16 is one of those verses that really sums up the entire gospel. It is often referred to as the gospel in the nutshell, and one of the most familiar verses in all of the world, John 3:16. But verse 17 is just as important, and indeed, it can be seen as a backup to verse 16. It further confirms the truths that are revealed to us in verse 16. But verse 17, I believe, stands on its own because it details for us exactly why God gave his only begotten Son, why God sent his only Son. Verse 16 speaks of the love of God. Verse 17 speaks of the demonstration of that love in that he sent his Son into this world. And you know, folks, we can never emphasize enough that this time of the year is all about that reality. We can never repeat it too much that this season of the year, as with other seasons of the year, is about Christ coming into this world. Whatever other matters there are to consider, whatever other things we have to think about at this time of the year, remember this: God sent his Son. In the mind of the eternal Godhead, from before the foundation of this world, from before ever man was created, the Messiah was promised, the Redeemer was foretold. He was foreshadowed in all the types and the shadows in the Old Testament, in the priesthood, the pattern in the tabernacle, and all the rituals and the ceremonies of the Levitical system. He was all foreshadowed, but then he was fulfilled in his coming into this world as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. You see, the lowly baby in Bethlehem was and is the Savior of the world. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost planned redemption, promised redemption, and in the fullness of time, the Redeemer was sent into this world to acquire that redemption for we sinners. You see, the Son was commissioned and sent into this world which was steeped in sin. The Redeemer came. The Savior came to fulfill every law of God which man had broken. He came to fulfill it in every part. And at Christmas time, this time of the year, we give thanks to God that he did send his Son into this world. What a hopeless situation we would be in tonight if God did not send his Son. We would have no message to tell. We would have no Christmas story to recount if God had not sent his Son into this world. But thank God we do. This is the message of Christmas, that God sent his Son. Yes, it is a great mystery, but it is a blessed reality. Verse 17 speaks of a contrast, because it contrasts the negative with the positive. It starts off in a negative manner in order to emphasize the positive at the end of the verse. The opening words of the verse are, "For God sent not his Son into the world." Now those words can very easily be interpreted that God did send his Son. You see, the use there of that word "not" is used to show the reason that God sent his Son. This verse is not casting any doubt on the truth, on the reality, on the mystery that God did send his Son, but rather it's reaffirming the truth that God did send his Son. You know, folks, it's so easy to get caught up in all of the tinsel and the trappings of Christmas. And even as God's people, we can look at the pictures and we see them all around us. The shepherds and the wise men and all of that, the little babe in the manger. And we can fall into the trap that this is some nice story, some lovely story, but we fail to grasp the reality of it all. You see, folks, tonight we're not dealing here with fanciful notions. We're here dealing with facts. God did send his Son into this world. As we think of the message of the commission, it's first of all we see that he was promised. You see, the promise of the Savior, the promise of a Redeemer, can be traced right away back to that time when our first parents fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. Just after they fell, just after man had fallen from that pristine condition in which he was created, God gave a promise. In Genesis 3 and 15, God gave the promise to this world, to Adam and Eve in particular, but to this world, that he would send the Son, the seed of the woman, bruising the heel of the serpent. That was a promise of reconciliation. That was a promise of restoration. It was a promise of redemption. And that promise, and you can take time to read it in Genesis 3:15, that promise was fulfilled when Christ came into this world. His coming into this world, the one born of a woman made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. And this Christmas time, as we remember his coming, we also remember the covenant promise of God. You see, Bethlehem is the fulfillment of the promise of God. The promise that he would send a Redeemer. The promise that he would not leave sinners to wander aimless in this world without hope and without mercy. Because you see, in the great covenant of redemption, God entered into a covenant, a promise with man. He promised a Savior. He promised the Messiah. And that promise was fulfilled when God sent his only begotten Son into this world. He was promised, but also he was prophesied. Many hundreds of years before Christ actually came, the prophet Isaiah spoke of his coming, prophesied concerning his coming in Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And that verse goes on to speak about the power, the preeminence and the person of Christ. The child who would be born. The child who would be given. And Christ, while he was the Son of God, yet in his coming into this world, he was made flesh and became the Son of Man. And you know, folks, that's a wonderful truth. But it's also a great mystery. The Word made flesh. Christ taking our humanity into union with his deity. Not losing any of all the attributes that he had as God. He did not empty himself of God. He did not lay aside his glory. He remained God, yet he was made man. Yes, his glory was veiled. His glory was not seen by all, but he was still full of glory. That child which Isaiah spoke about, that son which Isaiah prophesied about, was the one who was sent of God, who lay in the manger. Christ is the child who was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before he actually came into this world. And you know, in all of this, we see the great harmony of the Scriptures. People will tell us today that you can't take the Word of God at face value. There are parts of the Scriptures you can't really rely upon because they seem to contradict other parts of the Scriptures. Let me reemphasize again, there are no contradictions in the Bible. God does not contradict himself. And we see that most especially in the prophecy, in all of the Old Testament, which spoke of Christ, foretold of Christ. And then we come into the New Testament and we see that prophecy fulfilled, Christ coming into this world. Men may wish to diminish and belittle the real significance of Christmas, the reality of Christmas. People will be caught up, as they have been over these past number of days and weeks, with all the hustle and the bustle, with everything that's going on. And they fail to grasp the message that God sent his Son into this world. The message, but also there is the marvel. The verse speaks of the Lord being sent. Verse 17, "For God sent, not a son." That word sent there, it means to be set apart for a particular mission. It means to be commissioned for a particular role. And that's exactly what is in view in the incarnation of Christ. You see, in Christ coming into this world, he was set apart for a particular role. The word sent there is where we get our English word apostle from. And in the highest form, in the clearest form, Christ is the apostle of our profession. He is the one who was set apart. Christ was set apart for service. We will see that in a moment, the service that he had to do. But it's interesting as you read through John's Gospel. you will see how that Christ often refers to himself as the sent one. In John 6 and 29, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." John 6, 10 and 36, "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world." Sanctification and set apart. Christ was set apart for a particular role. He was set apart for service. There was a work for him to do. You know, as we think of that, we think of the whole realm of redemption, the whole scheme of salvation, the reconciling of God to man. It all originated with God. It was the predetermined plan of God to redeem sinners, to save sinners. And as we think of that, we are brought to consider the love of God in all of this. God so loved that he gave. God so loved your soul that he sent his Son into this world. The one who left the splendors and the glory and the majesty of heaven, and he sent his Son into this world with an aim, with a purpose that was to save your soul from sin. He was sent into this world, yet this world knew him not. You go out onto the streets of Belfast today, and you ask people, what is this season all about? You'll find very few who'll be able to tell you what this season is all about. We live in a world today who have no thought after God, not want nothing to do with God. Or they'll take all the celebrations, but they do not want to acknowledge the fact that God sent his Son. And yet he sent his Son into a world that wanted nothing to do with him. He came to his own and his own received him not. Yet he came. This world deserved nothing but the wrath of God. I deserve nothing but to be damned in hell the day I was born. But in love and in grace, God sent his Son. And what have you done with his love tonight? God so loved your soul that he sent his Son into this world to die on the cross to save you from sin. For some of you, you've rejected that love. You've turned your back on that love. And for others, you've rebelled against it. God so loved you that he sent his Son to die for you, and yet you've rebelled against it, you've rejected it, yet he still loves you. You may not feel any love toward him right now, but there is a love toward you. God so loved you that he sent his Son to die on the cross for you. Thank God tonight he is still long-suffering. Even though this world rejected him, even though this world wanted nothing to do with him, yet God still sent his Son. And for some of you tonight sitting in this church, you've rejected the love of God for many years now. You've turned your back on the love of God for all your life, yet God still loves you. And God still wants to save you. You see, at this time of the year, we remember the great fact that love in the person of Christ came down. Love came down to a world that displayed no love to him, yet love came down. Love came to a people that turned their backs on God. Love came to a people who went their own way, wanted to do their own thing, yet love came down. That's the marvel of the Christmas commission, that in love God sent his Son to a world that knew him not. And tonight you've rejected God's love. You have walked out through the doors of this church, week after week, trampling underfoot the precious blood of Christ. You've rebelled against it. You want nothing to do with God's salvation. You think you're all right in yourself. You turn your back on God, yet God in love tonight comes to you, calls you, commands you to be saved. That's the love of God. Yet it is a great marvel. Then there is the mission here. Why did Christ come? Let's go back to our text. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see how we keep coming back to this whole theme of redemption and salvation? Because that's the whole theme of Scripture. The whole theme of Scripture, from its opening verse to its last amen, is about the redemption of your soul. It's not about man's ideology or man's thinking on this and that. Yes, there are other aspects, of course, but the overriding, overarching theme of Scripture is the redemption of your soul from sin. The redeeming back of a people to God. That which was promised, that which is prophesied, has now come about in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save. He came to save. You see, the Jews believed that the Messiah would come, but that he was coming to judge the world. They believed that he was coming to condemn the world. They believed that the Lord was coming. And of course, they're still looking for their Messiah. And they believed that he was coming in great power and glory and great triumph. And he was coming to judge the world. But the Lord, in humility, and the Lord in lowliness, came to save the world, to redeem the world, to reconcile the world. You see, the first advent of Christ was not a mission of condemnation, but rather it was a mission of salvation. Judgment and condemnation here, the same thought in verse 17. But it's shown here, and that the verse is so put together and so constructed to show us that Christ, in his first coming into this world, did not come to condemn this world. He came to save this world. On over in John's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse 47, he says, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He would have been quite right and proper to have come first time to judge sin. Quite right and proper to come and to condemn us. But again, we're brought back to the love of God that he sent his Son into this world to save us. The first mission of Christ into this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. Sinner, tonight, he came as a child in the manger. He lived that life of total perfection. And he died the death on Calvary's cross. Why? To save your soul. It was for me. The Savior came. Just stop and think of that for a moment. Child of God, today, if nothing thrills your heart, then that surely will. It was for me the Savior came. The Savior came in lowliness and humility to save my soul from sin. He came in lowliness and humility, sinner, to save your soul from sin. He didn't come to condemn. Why? Because we're already condemned. We're already condemned. Verse 18, John 3, tells us, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You see, when we were born into this world, the moment of our conception, we were condemned because of sin. Condemned already. Sinner, tonight as you sit in this meeting, it's not that you're going to be condemned on the day of judgment if you still remain in your sin. If you still remain in your sin, in the day of judgment, you'll be damned. But right now, as we approach another end of a year, you're already condemned because of your sin. And the reason Christ came into this world was to save us from that condemnation, to set us free from that condemnation. Sinner, tonight Christ came to save you, came to redeem you. He did not come as your judge. Rather, he came as your Savior. And as we think of that, I believe that we can see that the verse is speaking that Christ is the only Savior. Christ is the only Savior of sinners. Christ is not saying tonight that you can be saved through him and you can be saved this other way through the church. Christ is not saying tonight that yes, he is the way, the truth, and the life, but then your own way is a way to God as well. No. He's saying there's only one way. And that one way is through Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior. There has been no other Savior. There will be no other Savior to release you from the power and the condemnation of sin. Only Christ. Only Christ can save you. The precious blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary can save your soul from sin and nothing else. No one else. What is it tonight that you're depending upon? Here we are almost at the end of another year. And the reality is we're one day nearer the day of our death. And what are you depending on tonight? Yes, we're looking forward in a few days to all the festivities, but who knows what a day will bring forth. Therefore, tonight are you ready? Tonight are you saved? Christ came into this world to save you. His first mission into this world was not that of condemnation, rather it was of salvation. But Christ is coming again. Christ is coming again. That's what we read of in the book of Acts, the opening chapter. He's coming again. But the next time he comes, he's coming to judge. The next time he comes, he's not coming to be your Savior, because mercy will be past then. He's coming then to judge you. He hath appointed a day, we're told, a future day, in the which he will judge the world. And on that day, for all those who remain out of Christ, you'll be judged, you'll be damned, condemned to a lost sinner's hell. The first advent of Christ was to save. The second advent of Christ is coming again. I don't know when, I don't know where, and all the rest of it. But I know he is coming. He is coming. And are you ready? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? And the only way you can be ready for the second coming of Christ is to receive the reason why he came the first time, that was to save your soul. You see, tonight Christ stands willing, able and ready to be your Saviour. But if you reject him, then perhaps one day sooner than you think, he will be your judge. And mercy then will be gone. What an awful day it would be for sinners in this meeting tonight, having sat for so long, heard their need to be saved, and yet meet God in the day of judgment still unprepared. You'll be without excuse. No pleas of clemency then. But tonight Christ stands as your Saviour. He is your Saviour tonight. We thought of that verse, Mark 2:17 last week. I came not to call the righteous. They say there were no righteous. But sinners to repentance. Tonight are you going to come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Are you going to turn from your sin? Receive the greatest gift this world has ever known. The gift of God's salvation. You're going to be saved tonight. Tonight, don't reject him anymore. Don't turn away from God any longer. But rather tonight, come and receive Jesus Christ. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him and only him might be saved. Are you saved? Are you ready for the Lord's coming again? Are you right with God tonight? If not, then come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Let's bow in a word of prayer. And in the stillness of the meeting tonight, thank you for your attention. But as we come up to this Christmas season, what does it really mean to you? What is it to you that God sent his Son? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, the one who was sent? Or are you tonight just relying on your own self, your own great works and all the rest of it? Christ came to save you. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? If not, then tonight come and be saved. Come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If we can help you, you want to speak to us, we'd only be too glad to do that. Only be too glad to show you from the Scriptures the way of salvation. Come tonight and be saved. Turn your life over to him. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak on. Take the stumbling words of man tonight, we pray. Use the word of God and apply it by thy Holy Spirit to each one, we pray. We ask, O God, for any are here without Christ. We thank thee, O God, that at this Christmas season, remember that God did not send his Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we pray, Lord, that tonight hearts and minds will be turned away from all the festivities of this time. And Lord, that eyes will be turned to Christ. Lord, that they'll see the beauty and the glory of Christ. They'll see the loveliness and the reason why he came. It was to save their soul from sin. Save in this meeting tonight, we pray. Make this the greatest Christmas season, the life of some unconverted soul, we pray. And by faith they come and receive Jesus Christ. Answer prayer for us now. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We're going to close tonight with the choral at the end of your order of service, O Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. This is a tradition now. We always close our choral service with the singing of this hymn. We're going to ask our young people to come back up again. We're going to lead us. And we're all going to sing this choral together. It's a lovely choral. One of my favourites. We're going to sing it this afternoon in the home. It was requested. But then Ronnie didn't want to sing it. He just felt he didn't have the voice to sing it. He's very humble and very shy. Ronnie, do you want to come up here and help us sing? You sure? It's a wonderful choral. We're going to sing it together. After we get the introduction, we'll all stand and sing O Holy Night. Let's all stand as we sing, please.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long may the world in sin and error pining, till He appear and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, right, divine, oh, night, when Christ was born.
us remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for that holy night when Christ came. We thank thee, O God, for the one who was promised, the one who was prophesied, for that babe who came in lowliness and humility. And we thank thee, O God, that he came to be our Saviour, to redeem us, to bring us to God. And we pray, Lord, that tonight for any who may be here without him, know nothing of God's salvation. We pray, Lord, that this will be a blessed night, a holy night for them, when they will come and receive Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Bless us, we pray now, as we take our leave. We pray, Lord, as well, you'll take our thanks for the good things prepared. Help us, Lord, to eat and drink to thy glory, and always be mindful of the needs of others. Part us then with thy blessing. Bless us, Lord, throughout this Christmas season. May it be a blessed time, Lord, as we remember Christ coming into this world. Take our thanks for thy presence with us. For we ask this in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. Invite you all to wait behind for the cup of tea. We're going to ask the young people if they would go and help serve out the tea. You go through the doors here to my left.